a parking lot with a pink hotel.
Well, thank you, Joni Mitchell. This is Bernie Steffen with Ecologic Radio. Following the new show that has returned, Prairie Fire, I can't remember the last word, but Times, and with Thomas Cooper, who I've met, and I'm delighted with his show, is very radically oriented, and mine is too. And so I hope we have some continuing listeners, and I hope that you like what you hear on Ecologic Radio. Today, my title of my show is Less Doing, More Being. I'm Bernie Steffen. Less Doing, More Being. We are going to look at what the Coastal Miwok and the Pomo, who are the indigenous people here, can teach us about living within limits. You know, we know that industrial civilization now is having lots of problems. And we talked about the colonialism, the capitalist pressures, the genocide that comes from that. And on Thomas's show, we see in Gaza, in what is now the state of Israel, that's playing out as genocide. And I look to see that it goes even deeper than that. It also goes not just within our human species. We have racism, but we have speciesism. We think that we humans are in charge. And to the extent that we are, we're causing what I call ecocide. And a lot of people call it ecocide. But we do that because of what we keep doing in this industrial civilization. Most of my life, I believe the answers to every problem was to do something. I had to work harder or smarter. I had to drive further or faster. I had to innovate more. I had to create more. I had to control more. This is what our culture rewards. When a problem appears, we assume action is required. That's in our operating system. I want to say it's in our DNA, but it's not. Our DNA is about how our species has evolved, but our operating system is how our cultural past has created this global civilization now that is heavily industrial that we are a part of. You know, and I'm reminded of that old saying that if you're in a hole, stop digging. Well, I see humanity is in a very deep hole. And that's what inspired me to focus on less doing, more being. The deep hole, well, it includes climate disruption, which is now getting to a point that billions of people will be dying, like the heat wave that India has recently experienced, that we don't talk about in mainstream media, just like we don't talk about the genocide in Gaza anymore on mainstream media. But thankfully, here at COWS, we have free speech, and we're ready to raise our voices beyond what the conversation is in polite society. You know, we have species extinction happening. I talked about ecocide. We sometimes want to, like, apply our science and the last populations of a species so that they don't go extinct. We want to save them. Well, that's fine and good, but let's stop pushing them and their habitat to extinction to begin with. Because as soon as we have a mass extinction, we humans are part of it. We humans are part of it no matter what. We're not living sustainably. We have resource depletion. That's because of our doing. We're doing so much building, warfare, taking resources from all over the globe, wherever we get them. It's not just the oil, and it's not just the Strait of Hormuz that is the issue. fossil fuels are being depleted. But so is lithium, so is cobalt, so is all of these minerals and resources that are fueling this expansion of our technological nature to a degree that is exponential. And now we're fighting those big data centers that are sucking up energy because their computer power is so vast that it can, you know, search the internet in milliseconds. You know, that's crazy. But it's also crazy that we have the soil being depleted all over. We have the water aquifers being drained down. We have this locally in West County. People are having to book their well being drilled deeper a year in advance. And then hopefully they'll hit water when they make that investment. But we have been aware of how our civilization has been drawing down the water supply. This is not something new or something small. This has been going on for a while. Yet our responses is almost always the same. It's more technology, more growth will cure that, more extraction, smarter extraction. If you're running out of a traditional oil well, then do some fracking and you can have some short-term gain to the fuel supply that we all depend on and that we keep using more and more of. So complexity is a big part of what our lives are about now. And I'll talk about this again, but I've talked about it before. The energy that we consume runs into the energy that can be supplied. There are limits. We like to imagine there are no limits. But with complexity, every bit of complexity requires more energy. Complexity requires energy. I'm going to do a whole show about that at some point. But we are fueling the very machine that is creating this crisis. Industrial civilization feeds on the living world. There's a science term called overshoot, and that is we are taking more from the living world than we are allowing it to regenerate. So we in the United States on average live as if there were five Earths worth of nature restoring what we take. In Europe, they live at four Earths. In many indigenous cultures, or what we call derogatorily underdeveloped or undeveloped countries or third world nations, they're living sustainably at under one world's worth of restoral for how they live. They have lived for millennia while we have been pursuing this industrial culture for hundreds of years. Their millennial existence and all of our ancestors come from that existence was totally in sync with what the natural world could provide and could be allowing many species to continue to live. Our species isn't the problem, and I often heard it say that way, and I want to be careful of not saying it myself. Humans are not causing climate change. Humans are not causing extinctions. A part of the human species is. That may be the dominant culture, the dominant paradigm. That is, I'm calling industrial civilization. It has now grown to where it's not about what one nation does anymore. It's what the combination of nations that are part of this system that is indeed global, that is indeed causing genocide where native people get in the way of profiting from the natural world. And the ecocide that is happening is really going under discussed. I mean, people are aware of it, but they feel like, well, what can I do? Well, we can stop doing. As I said at the beginning here, most of my life, that's what I was trained for, is doing. I'm a doer who has a hard time doing meditation, but I recognize the value of it, the value of kind of rethinking. And if you keep doing and don't stop doing or doing a lot less, you don't open yourself up to more being. Being more indigenous, being more like the Pomo, the coastal Miwok. You know, they actually didn't have a border between them that says, this is our land and that is your land. The coastal Miwok came up to the Russian River. The Pomo were on maybe on the other bank of the Russian River, or they came to this side. But there was no animosity, there was no war, because there was plenty of nature, and they didn't overuse that nature, what provided them. They lived with the seasons, they lived with the times. You know, for thousands of years, the coastal Miwok and the Pomo lived in these very watersheds. The Russian River, along with the Laguna de Santa Rosa, which is 10% of the Russian River watershed, and all of Bay Area watersheds. No fossil fuels, no highways, no big bridges, no supermarkets, no global supply chains. Well, we think that was evolution. That's a misuse of the word evolution, because it's leading to our species becoming extinct, along as many others. With a mass extinction, you're not evolving. You are moving quicker. You're at a evolutionary dead end. We humans are a evolutionary dead end. So our culture hasn't evolved with the use of fossil fuels or highways or supermarkets or these global supply chains. Our life has gotten more comfortable. It's becoming more desirable for some people, but not for all people. And it's coming at the expense of parts of the world that are suffering now because of all that we, and I'd say even a homeless person living here in the North Bay in Sonoma County, has more privilege than many cultures throughout the world as a result of what our colonial past, what our industrial civilization is causing them to suffer in terms of crops no longer working that they used to work for thousands of years. That their way of life has been destroyed, and they ultimately become refugees within the industrial civilization. And we think they're the problem. It's clear that the answer to our problems is not doing better. It's more being, not more doing. Being connected, being present in life, recognizing its limits. You know, if you're not doing in this society, people call you a bum. But, you know, if you get a boat and pretend to be fishing, now you're a fisherman. That I think fishermen know how to be. It's a form of meditation. I'm not a fisherman, but I respect that form of meditation. And I respect it in the communities that recognize the value of it. So let's talk a little bit about the food, the mobility, and what the energy all gives us. You know, we get more roads, we get more cars, more flights, more speed. But every mile traveled with that assist, that human, superhuman assist of fossil fuels, or through the batteries that originated with the fossil fuels, every flight, every mile driven is using up ancient stored fossil fuels. You know, we talk about fossil fuel gas prices going up. It's incredible how much energy is held in a gallon of what we call gasoline, the petroleum, the product from the oil. We're in the oil age. But as the oil age comes to an end, it's not about political decisions or economic decisions like we pretend and want to solve these problems that way. It's about we have to get used to not being so mobile, not feeling like we can go across the country on a vacation. Likewise with the food. Industrial agriculture depends on diesel, fertilizers, refrigeration, warehouses, global logistics. And, you know, the food travels thousands of miles before reaching our plates. The Miwok, the Pomo, they lived within nature's budget. Acorns, salmon, deer, shellfish, seasonal foods. The idea that you could eat any food you want and have it any time of year that we now enjoy through our global supply chains, it's nuts. That's not healthy living. Healthy living is when you're not destroying the environment that is creating your food supply, but adapting to it. Likewise, our mobility. It's time to do more walking, to focus on trails, not freeways, to use canoes rather than power boats. They had a knowledge of place, those indigenous people that we displaced and actually killed with impunity. Coastal Miwok and Poma Indians in this area were killed, and the people who killed them were not held to account for killing another human being. That is part of our history. We can't forget that. Today, we celebrate, we're traveling to all these countries faster and further and seeing more cultures and, you know, being global citizens. But perhaps that freedom that we have with our hypermobility isn't really freedom, because it comes from belonging somewhere deeply enough that you really need to leave. That's what real freedom is. Freedom is being comfortable where you are and not feeling like, I want to see some better places on the earth and maybe I'll move. You know, indigenous people didn't have that luxury. Their home, they were committed to for generations. They inherited a lifestyle, a way of living. They learned it. They passed it down generation to generation. They couldn't drive 100 miles in a day like I do. But ironically, as I drive these 100 miles, I know less about my watershed than people who really traveled beyond it. The people that lived within the local watershed, they understood it. They knew what happened when it rained. They knew what happened when it flooded. They didn't see the Russian River flooding as a disaster that they had to get insurance for and condemn because it's infringing on our property rights here in Sonoma County. No, the Russian River having its seasonal flooding pushes into the Laguna de Santa Rosa. The Santa Rosa floodplain here wasn't a place that was meant for the biggest city in the North Bay. It was, you know, a place where there was a renewal of bringing nutrients through this backward flow of the Laguna onto the land, on the flooding, onto the floodplain. And that nutrient, those nutrients, along with not being cut down, were providing the food sources that the indigenous people lived on. Those oak trees, they became the dominant species, but they became habitat to many, many people. And very few of us know about our watershed as much as we know about what our county government is doing or what our city hall is doing. So I say, less doing, more being. Get to know your watershed. If I were a teacher in the early grades, I would hand the children a map of the various streams and rivers and the watersheds without the political layer and ask them to point to where their home is and to look at where their water comes from and where it's going to downstream. Because I think that the indigenous people learned about this environment that they lived in, that they inherited from their ancestors, and were feeling needed to be protected for future generations. They were thinking sustainably from the get-go. And they knew a lot about what other species were living here and how to coexist. Just like the Pomo and the coastal Miwok being different language groups and slightly different cultures, they didn't war with one another. There was plenty for everyone. So staying within nature's budget involves being within the energy budget. The indigenous people knew how to do that. We don't. So with that, let me take a quick break and let's play some Underwriters.
Cows thanks Cloverdale Connect for their support. Cloverdale Connect delivers their free paper every month to homes, businesses, and post office boxes in the greater Cloverdale area. They are also available online at cloverdaleconnect.com.
Cows Thanks Open Door Insurance Services, a family-owned and operated business providing solutions based on product knowledge and expertise in personal, business, specialty, and nonprofit insurance. You can reach them at 707-874-2666 or on their website at opendoorins.com.
Yeah, this is Bernie Steffen with Ecologic, and today we're talking about less doing, more being, and comparing our lives here as our modern society to that of the indigenous people here, the Pomo Indians and the coastal Miwok Indians. We could learn a lot from them. But I want to encourage listeners to call in today. I think this is an important subject, and I'd like to hear all points of view. Yeah, please don't call in to agree with me or pick a fight with me, but add your opinion here. I think that's the strength of community radio, and I truly appreciate it when someone calls. So the number here is 707-755-9250. Please, if you didn't write it down the first time, here's another chance. 707-755-9250. Love to hear from one of you. So let me not suggest that the Miwok and the Pomo had easy lives. They certainly faced hardships, but their security didn't come from investments of stock certificates, of a big home, a big farm. It came from relationships. It came from having family and community and being in the tribe. Just like here at Cows, we call ourselves the herd. We are a herd mammal, we humans, and we've stopped really paying attention to that as much as we should. I think Cows Radio here, calling ourselves the herd and focusing on Sonoma County, is a good way to try to reestablish some of those relationships, have some relationships with reciprocity so that when you're in trouble, you can call on your neighbors. Have some sense of belonging that this tribe that surrounds you, that you live with, is on your side. We have some technologies that tried to do that next door. It's not really successful at that. But sometimes I see block parties. I see people in a neighborhood actually coming together and having together. That is the start of living more locally. It's not in the digital sense, and it's the not that buying your cars at Napa Auto Parts at the local auto parts store. That's not living locally. What's living locally is being with your neighbors, being surrounded by family, not having them visit once a year from across the continent. I mean, that's nice that they can, but we shouldn't have had that privilege to begin with. And that privilege will be taken away from us. What I'm calling for is we depend on systems right now. And if we could have faith that we could live without the technological complexity that we're engulfed by today, that runs our lives. Can you imagine? Well, I can imagine, even though I'm in technology and I was part of helping this computer automation replace people and human labor to have the machines get more and more powerful, doing more things, carrying in my pocket more power than I used to work in a special room that was air-conditioned with a raised floor and had two banks of tape drives and early processing just to get the bills out. That took hundreds of people, if not thousands of people in California, and put them out of a job because the programs that I was building were replacing the work that was done manually. And when I had concerns about that, I kept hearing, well, don't worry, there'll be plenty more jobs to do the automation. But the truth is, you wouldn't do automation if it required just as many people after you do it. The thing is, you get more automation, you want even more automation, and there's no end to the automation. And so there is an end to the demand by this industrial system of the people in the kind of brain power that might carry us forward, because they got it all figured out. And we just got to be good consumers, and we got to keep buying. We got to keep this machine alive. We got to keep having wars, because we're the world's largest producer of military equipment and munitions. And, you know, if they don't get used up, my God, we're missing out on profit. It reminds me of the expression where a cartoon where someone was admitting that, yeah, we're headed for a really bad time. Things are really going downhill. But in the meantime, there's a lot of profit to be made if you invest correctly, if you handle this correctly. So let's stop doing. Let's be for a while. Let's be more in touch with what our ancestors here, they weren't necessarily my ancestors. I come from Europe. I was born in Germany to German parents. And so the industrial global world really started with colonialism that started in Europe. And on Thomas's show, we talked about what has happened to the Jewish people because of racism in Europe. And I remember that the person that we were listening to was saying that the greatest racism actually exists in Europe, and it got propagated. And of course, it was sort of necessary in order to steal other people's land, to take it over, to marginalize them, to force them into being like you, to teach the Indians in Indian school English or French or Spanish or whatever it was. It was no business of the Europeans to plunder the rest of the world, but they did. And then we Americans are proud that we were able to push King George III away and have a revolution and be independent and have a great democracy. And so we pat ourselves on the back for being the example for how everybody should live. But I'm challenging that notion that, well, I don't have to challenge it anymore. It's pretty evident that our political system has run into a situation. I don't want to blame one man. Like, it's easy to beat on Trump. He's the cause for all of our problems. Well, no. Actually, this sounds like heresy, and some of you, I'm sure, will stop listening to me because of this. But I think Donald Trump has done more to start a collapse of industrial civilization, that globalism that is killing the ecological world. He's not doing because that's his goal. He's definitely doing it because his goal is carrying forward a genocidal, ecocidal agenda that the capitalist, colonialist, industrial civilization is based on. And that is fueled by all of our doing, even when we think we're doing the right thing. We think we're doing the right thing when we buy an electric car and say that we're not doing as much harm as the gas-powered car that we got rid of. I had a whole show with Richard Heimberg where we talked about that. And the problem is, with the electric car, we drive even more. So we need even more 101 widening. We need even more investment in infrastructure that supports that kind of mobility. What is really necessary is to stop driving, stop flying, start using a bicycle, start walking, start being where you live, not like zooming through it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the message is I want to talk about. So come on, there's someone who wants to engage me on this. Please do give us a call. It would be really nice to hear your voice. So when we talk about place, we feel, I'm a realtor and I sell homes, but I really don't think that the way we own property is appropriate, but I do try to help people find the right place so that they're living possibly in a community that is the right community for them to engage in when all of this infrastructure and the power grid and the fuel runs out goes dark, because that's going to happen. So I want you to think about your home, your way you live. When you walk through your home, how many countries are represented by the things that are there? Think about how many mines exist to unearth the minerals that are represented in the things that we take for granted. How many factories were involved in taking those raw materials, taking the energy that came from the oil or from the burning of the trees or the biofuel or the solar? It doesn't matter. It's we are fueling a lot of factories that keep giving us more and more stuff. And think about the supply chains that are involved. We used to talk about cars and where they were made. Detroit, that were American cars. And in Canada and Mexico, they would get American cars. But then we started importing. And then the world continued to specialize because the economies of scale are such that when each country has one part of the car manufacturer of all cars, they get really good at it and they can provide it most inexpensively. And the travel of parts, the transportation of parts throughout our global world with the shipping containers and with the shipping lanes and the amount of shipping that exists, that made it possible that now you can't say this car was made in any one nation. It's a conglomerate from many nations. You know, the tires were made one place on the wheels that were made somewhere else that were put on the axle that was made somewhere else. You know, so we have indeed sort of milked this system of getting higher and higher efficiency to get more and more ability to have more and more stuff to go further. Thinking about everything that surrounds us, I think about my clothing and where it comes from, my phone that I love. I love my iPhone. I love my computers. I'm really comfortable with the new technology. But that doesn't mean that it's harmless. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't be. I really should learn, and I would encourage younger people to drop out more, to live off the grid, to live with a sense of place, to shelter in a place like the Miwok and Pomo that is your home, that is not about the real estate value of buying and selling that property, but is your home for what shelters you, where you can grow some food, where you can exchange products with other people. Life emerges from place. And so living that way, you will naturally be in touch with other species, with a lot of other plants, and you won't only be growing your own food, you'll probably be gleaning out of the wilderness area that surrounds you because there are edible plants. And I know a lot of people here already do that, particularly with mushrooms. And that's a good thing, to have a skill that is not dependent on the industrial superstructure that most of our food comes from. So a life emerges from place. It's a deeper contrast, not about the technology that one society has or another, but the contrast of belonging to place as opposed to seeing place as a place to be owned and resources extracted, and that you can own property with military might backing that up in lots of places all over the world, as long as you got lots of money and resources and power to keep that whole thing going. Do we really think that thing can keep going forever? We're watching it crumble. I think it's time to ask ourselves, by being more knowledgeable about the local things, what skills can we learn, again, that don't require power tools, that don't require the internal combustion engine? How can we become more self-reliant? And I like that Sonoma County has a lot of people who are growing more food, who are on that track to learning to be more self-reliant. A lot of people can fix their own homes. A lot of people can do a lot of stuff, and then other people get more rooted in what is in the wild around them and will protect that wild like we must protect it because our life depends on it. So our life can move towards becoming more local, becoming more rooted in place, and much less dependent on the system that tries to capture our consumerism. I'd say, let's ask ourselves, how much more can we belong to where we live? So I think it's time to ask you one more time. Here's the phone number for calling in, 707-755-9250. And let's hear from some more underwriters.
Cows Radio thanks Community Market of Sebastopol for their ongoing support. Community Market is a worker-run natural food store providing our community with organic food products since 1975. located at the Barlow, 6762 Sebastopol Avenue in Sebastopol. You can reach them by phone at 707-407-4020.
Kaus thanks the Occidental Community Council. The council strives to meet the unmet needs of the Occidental area, and the public is invited to its meetings every third Saturday of the month at 10:30 a.m. at the Occidental Community Center in downtown Occidental. For more information, go to occidental-ca.org.
Well, this is Bernie Steffen with Ecologic, and I'm talking about doing less and being more. It's a strange idea to do less because our civilization has trained us to solve problems by doing, and we keep wanting to do it more the way we've been doing it without questioning. Are we continuing to dig ourselves a deeper hole? I've talked about the fact that I believe we are. And our deepest loss may not be the loss of energy. It may not be our loss of our ability to consume, or even that the overshoot is the source of the problem. Perhaps it's our relationships. Modern humans may be the first in history able to spend an entire lifetime without consciously interacting with the other species. The trees are scenery. We plant them for what looks good and what enhances the value of our lives and our real estate. The salmon we think of as protein. Clearly, they are there to serve our needs, and thank goodness we're giving them some more area to go upstream to reproduce by taking down dams. So we're making some conscious decisions to undo some of the doing that we did very badly to not serve us well. And rivers have become our water supply. We're starting, though, to recognizing that some countries in South America, and I forget which it is, it may be Ecuador, it may be Libya, or they have given legal rights to the rivers so that there is some way to push back on the political system that keeps using them for the water but not honoring the life that they sustain. We see forests becoming lumber. We value a forest for the amount of lumber that can be harvested and regrown. That's insane. The forests are a habitat for the other species that we've co-evolved with. For us, tomato has become a product. We no longer see living beings. We see resources. We see objects. We see inputs. The Miwok and the Pomo lived amongst these other organisms that they knew intimately. They named the plants. Their animals that lived with them, they told stories about them and passed that down generation to generation. Places had meaning, sacred places where battles were fought. Regardless, they honored, not with national parks that people from all over the globe can come and visit and overrun. Their places were sacred, and relationships were visible. Today, many of our relationships have become automated, anonymized, financialized. We have become organism blind. Yes, we need to do less managing. We think that we can manage the recovery of species because of our scientific prowess. Well, why can't we use that scientific prowess to prevent it in the first place, that they are losing population and going extinct? We want to control the water so that we can feed all the people water, fresh water, whether it rained in the Colorado watershed or up in the Northern California. LA needs water. We've got to pump it over those Tehachapi Mountains. And that requires a lot of energy that we don't talk about. But, you know, the idea that they're entitled to that water because we're California and we have a legislature with more representatives from Southern California who think it's good that that water is being captured and controlled and being sent down there. They're not sensitive to our place, to our sensibilities about the watersheds and ecosystems that we're living in. Water is a resource. So be more being. It reminds me of permaculture. I took some training in permaculture design. And one of the first things they teach you is that if you're going to use a piece of land to grow a crop or to raise some animals or however you plan to use it, before you start digging and destroying and pouring concrete and what have you, spend a year in that place observing, just being. Take note of what happens during the seasons. Take note of what happens when there are heavy rains. Take note of what the temperatures are and where the shade is and how the land drains and what the organisms that are there need. Because coming in to take over and kick all of those species out because we have a monocrop that we can grow for money, that's colonialism. You know, we may call it farming, but it's continuing the colonialism that went so out of hand in Palestine, with Gaza being the latest of those genocides and ecocides. They've not only persecuted those people for being who they are, those poor Palestinian people who had a love for their land and knew how to live with it, they've been pushed aside and killed and gotten out of the way so that there can be more, you know, resorts along the beach in Gaza. Apparently there are gas fields in the Mediterranean off the coast of Gaza. Those need to be exploited before somebody else does. I mean, there are pressures coming from our past, from our industrialization, that is working against us. So stop what you're doing, even when you think you're moving in a greener direction. I was with some sustainability groups, and I loved asking the question. It's not about anymore us living sustainably. We think it's fine when we live a little bit less unsustainably. In other words, we recognized how the fossil fuels were unsustainable. So wind and solar capture, that's certainly better. So it's less unsustainable, but clearly it's not sustainable. A wind farm is not producing enough energy to do the mining, manufacturing, installation, and maintenance of new wind farms. Like, wind farms don't recreate themselves. They're really not renewable. What's renewable is the wind, the sun. That comes every day, but it comes in small doses. The energy that we took from fossils is worth more than $8 a gallon for gas, $20 a gallon, or $100 a gallon for gas. When it goes to that price, I will say, hurrah. We're finally recognizing the true value of that. We've been burning it like there's an unlimited supply. Well, there's not. And in the process, we've not only been removing that resource for other uses potentially, not that I'm advocating for more uses of the oil that comes out of the ground, the oil products, be it coal or gas or whatever. You know, we need to start living at human power again, meaning with our human muscles, and maybe working with some of the animals like horses and mules and cows and pigs that we've developed relationships with. But let's honor them for being partners in mutual sustainability. Let's not view them simply as a food source. We need to be more observing. We need to be more participating, both in the human community that we live in, not over the internet in some social group that we find common interests with, or coming once a week to a meeting that we share interests with, but really with the people that when all hell breaks loose and there is a collapse of this industrial civilization, it's our neighbors who we're going to have to call on. The power grid will be down. The internet will be down. AI is not going to help us. We got to relate back to what our ancestors in the Miwok, in the Pomo, had relate to, their human knowledge of what is surrounding us. A lot of people think, well, it's the end of our species. I'm not willing to accept that. Yes, there probably won't be 8 billion people on the planet, but we're not going to be able to both have some of our species survive and let 8 billion people all have air conditioning. You know, that doesn't work. And people are dying in India to big numbers that we're not talking about because we don't want to admit the dark side of the way we live. And it's not just about freak weather. It's weather that has been a tick, tick, tick for the last 20, 30 years. We've been knowing that it's coming, and we knowing that it's killing. We knowing that it's making land uninhabitable. The species can't evolve with their adaptation fast enough for how quickly Mother Nature is having to restrain us, those of us humans, not all humans, who have joined with the industrial civilization, who have been a part of creating this damage. So we have been part of the problem, and complexity is not the same as wisdom. Our ecological crisis is just not warning us. It's evidence that limits exist and they matter, that the overshoot is real and can't be ignored, and that industrial civilization cannot continue. If there's hope, it begins with remembering what we have forgotten: more relationships, more belonging to the local world, to the watershed, more self-reliance, not outsourcing everything like we do. I'm going to do a show on outsourcing, by the way, too. I have a lot of passion for all of this. But more community, more participation, more humility. And that's one of the reasons I like Cows Radio. Cows Radio is one of our last remaining opportunities to use the technology to focus on local and how we will survive as a human species in this area. The coastal Miwok and Pomo were not sustainable because they had better technology. They were sustainable because they practice a different relationship with the living world. Let's stop living based on an endless doing, but on being. Less doing, more being. So with that, listeners that were willing to tune in and stick with me. I thank you very much. I appreciate your listening, and I hope one day you'll be inspired to call in on this show, because until we start communicating more about this problem, just like Thomas Cooper in his show, that his new show or revived show here that precedes this show, is dealing with the horrors that are happening between people within our species on this planet, that has to stop, because it's so destructive. It is so abhorrent. It is not natural. So in 2 weeks, I'll be back with Ecologic, and I think I'll be talking about our operating system, because I come from 25 years in IT. I watched the growth of the computers from, you know, working at a machine level machine code when I started in 1969, and to what we have now as AI and huge data centers that can scour the internet at lightning speed, at the speed of light. That has come to a place that people are now recognizing is causing hardship. People are fighting those data centers that they know they'll be competing with for electricity. Well, I hope they also learn that it's not just that we want the electricity and they can't have it. They're taking what we want for the life that we've accustomed to. There won't be any electricity in the long run. So as long as we can learn to stop doing so much and being more, I think we can open our brains to a new operating system. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye for this week. Thank you very much. Bernie Steffens signing off. Is what must we do in order to survive as a species? It'll involve soil and water, forests and fisheries, seeds and pollinators, local knowledge and physical community. The future will not be saved by preserving human-centered conveniences, but by preserving the living systems that support us. Collapse of industrial complexity is survivable. Collapse of the biosphere is not. The biosphere does not need industrial civilization. Industrial civilization does need the biosphere. So with that, let me thank all you listeners. Thank Jeff for calling in, and join us again in 2 weeks.